I'm sure. Good morning, Bethel. Do you remember this shirt? I'm sure you remember this whole process that we had to do from March till May the 9th in 2020. And to the Lord's credit and praise to his name, we've been able to have services there at the church. The reason you're getting this today like this is because yesterday, of course, it's still Saturday as I'm recording, but when you see this, it'll be yesterday. I started coming down with some symptoms and the such, and so we're taking every precaution. We have a few other families that are doing the same. With the weather, I may be preaching to 10 people. Who knows? Then you're seeing this on YouTube or Bethel of you that have showed up, and if we got canceled, then you're seeing this on YouTube or BethelLonedale.com or whatever the case may be. And so I am thrilled to have this opportunity to speak to you. Now, depending, obviously, again, on exactly how this is coming across from the standpoint of we canceled church entirely or we had services, we are for sure postponing, if that's the right word, we're not canceling, but we're postponing our commitment day for our serving revolution, and we're postponing our vote because I want to be there, obviously, and it will not be the 14th. So as of right now, we're looking at the 21st for starting. So yes, that will push it into May a little deeper for our 90 days and the such. Remember what our saying for 2020 is, it is what it is. And so I want to again thank all of you who have done what I am doing, and the other families that are showing symptoms. You're taking precautions. You're trying to protect those who are vulnerable and the such. And we greatly appreciate that. What a hypocrite, if you will, I would be if I didn't practice what I preach. And so that's where I'm at. I will be quarantining at home. I hope to get a rapid test sometime tomorrow, and then we'll know if I need to continue to quarantine and the such. I don't have severe symptoms as of yet, praise the Lord. And so it may just be a sore throat and things of that nature. Started running a mild temp in the evening of Saturday. So let's get with it here, or as you can imagine, this is going to be a long sermon. We are going to basically stay with our theme in preparation. I feel like we have and had for sure quite a momentum built up. For the last 6 weeks, we've had our best numbers numerically in church, in services, and the such, and praise God for that. We had some first-time visitors last week. Praise the Lord for that. And so we've just had some exciting times at Bethel, some very, what I would call, upbeat and serious worship services. Alyssa, of course, came to know Christ a couple weeks ago. We plan on baptizing her on the 21st, Alyssa Sykes. And so we're just excited about what God's doing. As you know, started a series of messages about the book entitled I Will by Tom Rainier back in November. And I told you, October, November, that the chapter and the message on I Will Serve was probably going to be revisited in January. And sure enough, for the last several weeks now, I've been preaching on the serving revolution at Bethel, that today was supposed to be the commitment day. And there's nothing saying that you can't start your commitment this week, but we will not hand out the cards until the 21st. And so what I want to do is just kind of give some added scriptural preparation for this, maybe answer some more questions. We've never done this before. And one of the things that we need to remember and remind ourselves is that if you get into that whole thing of that you're against it because we've never done it before, that's the last seven words of a dying church. We've never done it that way before. And so it's extremely important that we try new things and that we be open to the leadership, again, of the Holy Spirit is the main thing. And that's the only reason that I am encouraging you to enter into this 90 days of serving with me is because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I believe God has called us to this. Now, if you don't believe that, that's between you and God. Now, with that said, here's my question to you. Have you literally, point blank, asked him, is this your will for my life? You know, you're leading my pastor to ask me to do this. Do you want me to do this? That's all I can ask. We're going to dive into a passage here in 2 Peter. And so we're going to dive into a passage here in 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you would, turn there. We're not going to have you stand today, but 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read from my phone here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So we're starting with faith. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. If your life is not, if your life does not portray grace and peace as a Christian, that's an issue. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In other words, because of the grace and peace that God has given you through the salvation of your soul by the finished work of Jesus Christ, and by the faith that He provided for you to exercise in Him, you can now participate in that divine, righteous, holy nature of Jesus Christ. On everything that I just said, Peter is saying. So, based on everything that I just said, Peter is saying, for this very reason, because you can participate in the divine nature of Jesus Christ, you can be holy. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then he goes into a list. Goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in other words, you're growing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, Peter says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, you know what our church, your church, desperately needs. You know the encouragement. You know the spiritual navigation around roadblocks and discouragements and disagreements. You know what we need. So I'm begging and asking in a way that only you can do, even through the miracle, if you will, of the internet and computers, that you will communicate this message of resolve to serve in your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. So I'm going to rely pretty heavily on a fellow named Warren Wiersbe in his breakdown of these words, of these things that you and I are supposed to add to our faith. And so when you are saved, you weren't alive enough, if you will. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And even the faith was a gift of God. And you exercised that faith to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He paid the price. He took God's wrath for your sin. And then his death, burial, and resurrection was payment for your sin. So that when you exercised that faith and said, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve eternal punishment. But I also know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. So I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart and be my Savior. That's faith. And now Peter is saying in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, you need to add to your faith these things. Now, I think it's pretty interesting here how Mr. Wiersbe qualifies this. Peter listed 7 characteristics of the godly life, but we must not think of them as 7 beads on a string or 7 stages of development. In other words, these things do not just happen. The word translated add really means to supply generously. In other words, we develop one quality as we exercise another quality. These graces relate to each other the way the branches relate to the trunk and the twigs to the branch. Like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, these qualities grow out of a life and out of a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not enough for the Christian to let go and let God, as though spiritual growth were God's work alone. Literally, Warren says, Peter wrote, make every effort to bring alongside faith. The Father and the Child must work together. God and you, as you respond to God the Father, He will develop the child, and He will grow you as the mature adult Christian that He wants you to be. So the first quality he goes on of character Peter listed was virtue. We met this word in 2 Peter 1:3, and it basically means excellence. To the Greek philosophers, it meant the fulfillment of a thing. When anything in nature fulfills its purpose, that's its virtue, moral excellence. The word was also used to describe the power of the gods to do heroic deeds. The land that produces crops is excellent because it is fulfilling its purpose. The tool that works correctly is excellent because it is doing what the tool was supposed to do. Church, a Christian is supposed to glorify God because he has God's nature within. So when he does this, when you and I add excellence to our faith, in other words, everything that God asks us to do, we do to the best of our ability. How many times have I told you that I do believe that we have a measure of things really well? I really do. I do believe that we have a measure of health. But there's always room for improvement. In church, you know, we've also coupled that with stay in your own yard. Yeah, there's other churches doing other things. But what has God called us to do? And if we'll stay in our yard and not compare ourselves to the ones that aren't doing as well as we are, or compare ourselves to the ones that we think are doing better than ourselves, if we'll stay in our yard and add excellence to the areas that you and I both know that we can do better, we're going to bring glory to God. We just are. True virtue in the Christian life is not polishing human qualities, no matter how fine they may be, but producing divine qualities that make the person more like Jesus Christ. Not only do you and I need to add excellence or virtue to our faith, but the next word is knowledge. The word translated knowledge in 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3 means full knowledge or knowledge that is growing. The word here suggests practical knowledge or discernment. It refers to the ability to handle life successfully. It is the opposite of being so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly good. This kind of knowledge does not come automatically. It comes from obedience to the will of God. You've heard me say, and I've said this to several people recently, light obeyed increases light. And as you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, your knowledge is going to grow. It comes from obedience to the will of God. In the Christian life, you must not separate the heart and the mind, the character and knowledge. They all go together. The third word is temperance. The next quality that Peter lists here is temperance. It's a list of spiritual virtues, and it means self-control. That's what temperance means, controlling oneself. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Paul in his letters often compared the Christian to an athlete who must exercise and discipline himself if he ever hopes to win the prize. What is the prize for you and I? The prize for you and I is a mature, abundant Christian life. The next word is patience. Now, I like how Warren puts this. Patience is the ability to endure when circumstances are difficult. Self-control has to do with handling the pleasures of life, while patience relates primarily to the pressures and problems of life. The ability to endure problem people is long-suffering. Often the person who gives in to pleasures is not disciplined enough to handle pressures either, so he gives up. You see, patience is not something that develops automatically. We must work at it. And now I'm reminded of the mother of 8 children that says, I no longer pray for patience because every time I prayed for patience, I had another child. Well, I like that for a joke, but if you really diagnose that whole situation, I doubt that God was causing her to have children because she prayed for patience. With that said, no matter what happens after we pray for patience, we should not give up on praying for patience. We need to have patience with one another, with our world, and the such. Godliness. Godliness simply means godlikeness. In the original Greek, this word meant to worship well. It described the man who is right in his relationship with God and with his fellow man. This is something that is very dear to my heart. I've shared this many, many times, and I'm seeing God bring it to pass. Please hear me. I want to be very sensitive to every person that attends our church. If you're not having the experience I'm fixing to explain, I care deeply about that. And I want to sit down with you and let's pray through. Let's see if we can't figure out. But I'm telling you, irregardless of what other people experience, when I come to Bethel Baptist Church, I am worshiping God. Whether it's the song service, whether it's the prayer time, whether it's the preaching time, I am seeing God move. I'm hearing God. I'm experiencing God, if you will. I am feeling God. And that's one of my biggest hopes, prayers, desires, is that when we come as a church, we will absolutely fully connect and we will worship God well. That is something that we are supposed to add to our faith. It takes work. We talk about it all the time, that when you come in, you've got to lay your burdens down. Maybe someone in the church, you're not really on good standing with. You've got to take care of that. Some of that can be done just between you and God. Lord, I forgive them. Move on. Go worship. Sometimes you need to sit down with them, whatever the case may be. But this is something that I guard very jealously because it's something that I so longed for. When I came, was for us to have worship experiences that moved us for and toward God. And then you have the word brotherly kindness. Philadelphia in the Greek is a virtue that Peter must have acquired the hard way. For the disciples of our Lord often debated and disagreed with one another. If we love Jesus Christ, we must also love the brethren. We should practice unfeigned love of the brethren. What does that word unfeigned mean? Sincere. We should love, continue. The fact that we love our brothers and so we love them. Let brotherly love continue. The fact that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ is one evidence that we have been born of God. But there is more to Christian growth than brotherly love. We must also have that sacrificial love that our Lord displayed when he went to the cross. The kind of love spoken of in 2 Peter 1:7 is agape love. The kind of love that God shows toward lost sinners. This is the love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. The love that the Holy Spirit produces in our hearts as we walk in the Spirit. When we have brotherly love, we love because of our likenesses to others. But with agape love, we love in spite of the differences we have. And so these are the elements, if you will. These are the graces, Warren Wiersbe calls them, that we need to add to our faith. If you will embark on those, I guarantee you that the serving revolution is going to come now, and we are about out of time. The serving revolution, things that I just want to mention in closing. First of all, I have been hearing a lot of positive things, and I praise God for that. Connie Fuller sent this meme, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. You hopefully have already seen, and if not, Brad will play it after this sermon, a Big Mama production on the serving revolution. It'll make more sense when you see the 1 minute video. I want to ask a few rhetorical questions. Why are church services boring sometimes? Now, I'm not trying to be anything but real. Most people want to lay that credit at the preacher's feet. And I think sometimes that's absolutely deserved. If the preacher isn't prepared, if he's not prayed up, if he's not engaged, sure, it can be a tough go. All right. I, however, have tried to help everyone here that attends Bethel to realize that you as the listener have some responsibility also. And just because the speaker is boring doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be listened to. You see, lack of preparation and lack of passion is one thing. But when the preacher has prepared and the passion's there, but it's not there the way you want it, you've got to work through that. I call it the discipline of the hearer. And you've got to make sure that you are on the Christian maturity level that you need to be, that no matter that fellow's ability or disability, if he's preaching God's word, you need to be listening. But why are some church services boring? Well, if we are going to assume that the preacher is doing his job and that the preacher is delivering a godly message, these are some of the things that could be at play. No interest in Jesus. And you have to, as the hearer, and I'm not trying to be anything but real, as the hearer, you have to ask yourself, is the reason that I'm looking at my phone and it's not keeping up with the preacher in the Bible, is the reason that I am disinterested, is the reason that I am fishing, shopping, working in my mind, and I have tuned out what's going on the stage? It's the reason because I really, truthfully, sincerely do not have the interest in Christ that I should. That's one reason that church services are boring. No effort for God's kingdom has been exerted that week for the kingdom. If you and I are not serving on the front lines, we are not going to be hungry when Sunday comes. Maybe we're not hungry. Maybe we're hurt from serving. Someone hurt our feelings. Maybe we're spiritually out of breath. And this could be the worst case scenario. We're fat from the world's nutrients. You know, we pray for it every Sunday. Lord, help us to spend time with you, that when we meet those within our sphere of influence, they'll know that we've spent time with you. If you're not having that experience, why? Why? You see, the serving revolution could snap us out of that. It's going to get us working. We're going to exert ourselves for the Lord. We're going to get hungry. We're going to get hurt. And we're going to come each Sunday desperately needing the food that God has for us. So if we genuinely ask these two prayers, God will answer them. And we will have exciting services because we will come hungry and holy. Now, I've got a Bernie meme that came across the phone, and you've seen it. He's got those mittens on, and he's at the Biden inauguration, and he is as disinterested as he can be. At least that's the assumption. I'm not making any fun of Bernie. I'm just telling you what's on the meme machine these days. And so I couldn't find it. Somebody sent me the meme that two pictures of Bernie, the exact same picture, and under the one on the left, it says, a Pentecostal member at a boring church service. And the other one said, a Baptist church member at any service. So, you know, hopefully that tickled you. That's what it was meant for. But the point is that we don't want to, if we don't want to end up like that, we need to pray these two prayers. These are the two prayers I'm asking for you to pray for myself and this church. Help me to know you. Now, I've done this before. This comes from a message of three prayers, but we're hitting on two today. I'm asking you for the next 90 days to ask the Lord, help me to know you. Would you reveal yourself to me? Teach me how to love you. This is all one prayer. Give me a yearning for walking in the Spirit. If you'll pray that prayer, God will answer it. He'll change our lives. Prayer number two, let me in on your kingdom work. This has to do with the serving revolution. There's that airy, dry cough, right? Let me in on your kingdom work. Show me the needs of others or the community. Show me how to look out for their interests. Give me your heart and mind for those within my sphere of influence. That's the second prayer. So why the commitment? This is closing. When we have our commitment time on that card, is going to say, I'm committing to 2 hours of service if you check the box. And I'm committing not to say anything negative about the church. Why would we include that? Well, first of all, it's God's command. God has commanded you not to talk negatively about people that aren't present in your conversation. It shows unity. Be of one mind. How can two walk together if they are not agreed? It shows maturity. When you refuse to talk negatively about other people, it's because you have grown in your maturity. It shows love. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It shows the opposite of dysfunction. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you show love one to another. On the 21st, we're going to hand out the card. It says, I'm committing today till May the 21st to add so many hours or minutes serving a week to my regular schedule and committing to not saying anything negative or complaining about the church or anyone in the church. And let me ask you this. If you've already made up your mind, I'm not checking that box. All I'm asking you to do is ask the Lord. Do you want me to check the box, Lord? And then follow him. Number two, I'm going to specifically serve in this area, if you know. Number three, I'd like more direction in this area. So if you don't check the first two, but you want to know more, check that, but I got to have your name if you check that. Lastly, I'm praying diligently. Everybody should be able to check this. I'm praying diligently for our church to connect with our community in such a way that the gospel will flourish as a result of God's people entering into serving opportunities within the community. I love you, Bethel. Pray that I don't have COVID. And if I do have COVID, pray that it goes well. I love you. I'll be talking to you soon. May the Lord bless you.